Good morning. We're going to review just a little bit here. I realized that yesterday I didn't read Joel's prophecy from which Peter was speaking. So let's look at that just briefly. And I don't have anyone, again, to post verses, so someone can pick up and follow these. The verse list is posted on the website, but it's, I think, for the 7th. January 7th. It's actually part 3. So if you look at chronology, part 3, it'll be the right one. But anyway, I'll call the verses, and if someone can post them, that'll help. But Joel 2:28 starts off, and it shall come to pass. Now this is the Old Testament. This is after years of Israel's going astray and going away from God. And Joel, the Lord sends the prophet Joel, and he says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And that great and notable day of the Lord is different from the day of the Lord. Not different in that it's more defined, put it that way. It's within the day of the Lord, that 1,007-year stretch, but it's the actual day that the Lord comes down from heaven and splits the Mount of Olives. So that's what Peter was talking about when he quoted or spoke about it in Acts 2. And do you remember what those signs, all those signs that we just read about, what were signs to do for Israel? Signs and wonders were to cause Israel to believe. John 4:48 tells us that, as well as, you know, Exodus 4 and many other places. That's what they were for. When does the Bible say that Israel will believe? When are they going to come around to believing their God? Well, we saw yesterday, that's Zechariah 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication that comes from God. God is going to pour it out on Israel before they ever have this spirit within them, a spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon him whom they've pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So Israel will finally believe their God. In the tribulation, though, takes that long and that much. So let's get down to Acts 20, coming into this being after Christ had been born, was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven, and Jesus Christ sent his spirit, according to Acts 2:33, to those 12 apostles. And it says Peter, quoting or talking about Joel's prophecy in Acts 2:20, he says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Well, he still hasn't come yet. So it's going to happen still, that the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it's obvious that neither Joel nor Peter were before Acts 9 when Paul was saved. So it's talking about a different salvation. It's Peter is talking about the salvation that Joel was talking about. And Joel was talking about salvation from the great tribulation that he was talking about in the context there. So that's what that saved is talking about. Saved from what Joel and Peter just described, Jacob's trouble. Those that are in Jacob's trouble can be saved out of it. And we saw a verse, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, says the same thing, that they will be saved out of it. They couldn't be saved out of it unless they were in it. We get delivered from it. We don't go through it. They have to go into it and be delivered out of it. And whosoever of them call upon the name of the Lord, then the name, the identity. In other words, they finally recognize and admit that Jesus, born of Mary, is Jesus, Son of God. So let's go on to verse 22 in Acts 2. And we're going to read several verses here in line from Acts 2. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. There you go, that Mark 16:20, that's the verification of it, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24, excuse me just a minute. verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So in the previous verses, Peter preached the gospel of God about Christ, about who Christ is, and about, you know, that he's the resurrected Son of God, the Messiah. Those facts that Paul also identifies in Romans 1:1-4. But Peter also preached it. I mean, the facts about who Jesus is are vital, whatever you're going to believe about God. So, and it was used in both programs. Acts 2:25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, reference to the Messiah, thine Holy One, set apart one, to see corruption. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. I think that matches where in 2 Peter, I think it is, or Titus 1, that Paul talks about the promise of life. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. I'm not mixing mystery with prophecy here. That promise of life was way before the mystery was revealed. It was before creation. So it's before the God created heaven and earth. Let's see. Picking up where we left off. I'm going to read 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Thank you, Linda. That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that excuse me therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So there, in that verse there, Acts 2:20, God tells Israel, he states for all of us, Israel's reason for Christ to be resurrected. Christ was raised up from the dead to sit on David's throne. To sit on his throne. Verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. So here in Acts 2:33, God tells that in Acts 2, Israel's baptizer was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. He being Jesus of verse 32 that was raised from the dead. So why should Israel have known about this being Israel's last days like the wise men did? Well, why should they? It was prophesied. They weren't studying. They didn't, they let these prophecies go by. Daniel 9:24-26. Let's read it. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks. And weeks is literally sevens. 70 sevens. And that, does that sound familiar? If it forgives somebody 70 times 7. But here it's the prophecy. And Daniel was speaking it long before Christ Jesus was born. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. I don't know if you want to count these, but that's one. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, before we go on there, now, does that say anything about the temple or the house of God? Nothing. There are a lot of issuing of commandments that involve the house of God or the temple. There are some prophecies about Cyrus that later there will be this going forth of the commandment, but it's not a command in Isaiah. It's a prophecy about a future command. So, we see here, Daniel says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 is 60, 2, 60 and 2, and the 7 would be 69 of the 70 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And I'm up to that now in the middle of Ezra. In my personal reading, but Daniel 9:26, and after the aforementioned 62 weeks, which come after the 7 weeks, he didn't mention all of them, but after those later 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. That's after the 69th week, but not for himself. In other words, Christ died for our sins, but it doesn't say so there. It leaves it empty. It leaves it blank. It just says he didn't die for himself. He had no sin to die for. And we're told that there was no guile found in his mouth. From Daniel 9:25 prophecy, from that prophecy, you can see that there were 7 weeks before the 62 weeks. So 7 weeks and 62 weeks and 2 weeks is like saying 7 plus 60 plus 2. Seven, and this is weeks, so that's all sevens. Seven sevens plus 60 sevens plus 2 sevens. And that equals 69 sevens of years. Or that's 483 years from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, the city. Okay? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So that's Daniel's prophecy. They should have been able to time it from that. That Christ would have come, would have been born, if he's going to be a servant of God, a priest or a prophet or a king, that starts at age 30, so 30 years before, they should have known that he would be born and come looking for him, as they did from Persia. They came up. We three kings of Orient are, so to speak. what did he call them? Vipers? Right? Simultaneous to the beginning of that time of Jacob's trouble that we read about in Joel, that Paul mentions in Acts 2, and that Daniel talks about here, troublous times, is the acceptable year of the Lord. Simultaneous. And how can they both happen at once? Well, they could, if God wanted them to. I don't see it that way, though. I see it as it being the beginning of the tribulation, and then when they rejected during that first year of the tribulation, they could have received their king. They didn't. It became, instead of being the first year of the tribulation, it became the acceptable year of the Lord that the Lord had prophesied at the beginning of his ministry, that he would be the final part of his ministry. And Mark 16:20 tells us that final part of his ministry occurs while he is gone to heaven, after he's ascended to heaven. So let's look at the verses that show us about the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. Let me just get another sip. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And take notice of what follows the acceptable year of the Lord in the prophecy. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and these pop-ups occur at the worst time, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. So, you know, they use these verses as something that God is doing now, but that's during the tribulation. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They will have the spirit of heaviness, and the Lord's return will be a praiseworthy thing for them. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then our Lord, when he came and began his ministry, in Luke 4:16-21, Jesus announced his earthly ministry included that acceptable year of the Lord. But he didn't say any more than that was included. You know, that was the last of what of that list of things. Well, let's read them, starting in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth. Hold on just a second. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. At that point, they were still cooperating with him. They delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he knew exactly where he was going and where to find it. Verse 18, starting in 17 again, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So during that time of his ministry, that was included, but no more. The acceptable year of the Lord was part of his ministry, but not the later part. That would come later. And another confirmation of the acceptable year of the Lord, look in Luke 13. The Lord Jesus later gives a parable after there had been some time of rejection of the Lord. And the Lord confirmed the acceptable year of the Lord with this fig tree parable. Luke 13:6-9, starting in verse 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, that would be the dresser of the vineyard, he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Well, Leviticus 26:40-42 declares why Israel was given the acceptable year of the Lord. It tells us why they had the Lord had mercy after mercy after mercy with them. Let's read it. This is why they were given that acceptable year of the Lord. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. So that's all from Leviticus 26, early. That's during the giving of the law, just after they came out of Egypt. Leviticus 26, 40 to 42. Well, later on, after king, after king, after king, and if you read through their history, Israel's history, usually it's, and this king did worse than any of the kings before him, and then finally he died and was buried with his fathers or whatever, gathered to his fathers, and so-and-so reigned in his stead, and he did worse than any of the kings before him, more evil. So they declined and declined and declined centuries, and you get to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the offer is still there. Why was Israel given the acceptable year of the Lord? It was to change their mind. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, this is not talking about you and me. This is talking about Israel that was given those covenants. And if they turn, the Lord would bring them back to the land, bless them, the blessings that the covenants called for. And the same thing after Jesus came to earth, died for, as you know, as the Lamb of God, as far as they knew, and returned to heaven, was resurrected and returned to heaven. We find out the Lord inspired John to write why Israel was given the acceptable year of the Lord, to change their mind. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, Israel, from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. Not the body of Christ begging God to forgive what He said He already forgave. That would be a contradiction in Scripture. That's not what it means. It means it's another offer to Israel to come back to the Lord. But as we read before, that awaits the pouring out of the Spirit of grace and supplication when the Lord is ready to return. Praying for God to forgive what He already said He forgave when we were saved is to not believe that He did forgive us. That's part of the belief of salvation, that God, He died for our sins in the form of Christ, in the person of Christ. On the cross, He died for my sins. So, you know, when you're talking about the gospel and you say, well, you believe that, and somebody says, no, you don't believe that, you don't believe a formula, you believe on a person. Well, that's in the formula. I believe that Christ died for my sins. My belief in that is my trust that He did that for me. He died for my sins. So they're intertwined. You can't unmix them. The fact that you're trusting on Christ with the fact that you're believing the gospel about Christ having died for your sins. You can't just trust on Christ without believing that He died for your sins. That's like saying, I don't think God will do what He said. I don't think He'll send me to hell for sin or for disbelief or anything else. I'll just trust Him to save me. No, that doesn't work. You need to hear the gospel, believe it, believe that Christ died for your sins, and that's that belief in the fact that he died for your sins is your entrusting your salvation to Him. So, let me just get a sip here. Israel stumbled at the cross. They blew it. They stumbled. They should have believed their Messiah. But before exploring Israel's fall, remember that Israel stumbled at the cross, and it was a separate event before the fall, before Israel fell. Scripture identifies them separately as, you know. Let's go into it. Let's see what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. It was his crucifixion that was a stumbling point for them, the stumbling block. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. And look in Romans, Romans 9:32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He won't let you down. Whoever believeth on him, so that stumbling stone is a him. It's Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled, past tense, that they should fall? So, when they stumbled, did they fall? It doesn't say they fell at the stumbling. It says, did they have to fall afterwards? It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. No, they didn't have to fall after they stumbled. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto Gentiles. The Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. That would be the ones in contact with them, the ones in proximity. The Gentiles that the Jews could watch were the ones in the synagogue, the ones that were devout Jews. I mean, devout Greeks, excuse me. Devout Gentiles are called, they're called devout Greeks. Maybe not devout Gentiles. I think they're called devout persons and devout Greeks. In other words, they had blessed Israel. They had believed the covenant that God had with Israel, and that was where man could be blessed during that time period. It wasn't a time period. It was God's workings, God's ministration of life. At that time, it's the ministration of death, wasn't it? The law is called the ministration of death. But I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall is salvation come to the Gentiles, to provoke them to jealousy. And that's what his sending was. His sending was to those that God would deliver him from. In Acts 26, I think it's 16 or 18, 17, I guess. Some more, split the difference. According to Romans 11:11, Israel stumbled before they fell, though. That's the point we're trying to find here. According to 1 Corinthians 1:23, the stumbling block of the Jews was Jesus Christ crucified, his crucifixion. Even before the fact in the Old Testament, before it all, the rock of offense was the stone of Israel's stumbling. Look at Isaiah 8:14. Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary unto who? Unto the little flock. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. So it wasn't just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's to both houses of Israel. It's talking about both houses of Israel. It's talking about all of Israel. The house of Israel sometimes refers to all of Israel, as you can see here. Both for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jesus himself confirms to Peter and the disciples that Jesus, the rock, must be killed and raised again. Look in Matthew 16, starting in verse 18, and we'll read four verses there. Just a minute. Hold on, please. Sorry about that. We're back, though. look in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, so he's talking to a singular person, second person, thee, that thou, that's also singular, second person, not himself. Jesus is talking to someone, and he identifies him here, that thou art Peter. And upon this, that's singular, but it's first person, this is the rock he's talking about. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 19. And I will give unto thee, there's the second person again, talking to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Peter used that power later on. We're getting close to the end here. Let me just finish this and we'll close. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ, or the Messiah in Hebrew. And verse 21, from that time forth Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The death of Jesus, the rock, is that stone of stumbling, the crucifixion. So, as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 1:23, the stumbling block of the Jews was Christ crucified. But that's not their fall, and we'll get into their fall more next time. Hopefully tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes. Alright, any questions or comments, please raise your hand or post the comments in the questions or whatever in text.